Peace on Earth on Christmas Day? Question mark. Peace on Earth. In our Bible readings today, we hear how the shepherds hear from the angels that the baby who is born on Christmas Day has come to bring peace to the world. I want to tell you a story about a fascinating incident that happened early in World War I, and you may have heard about this before. This is called the Christmas Truce of 1914. This was early on in the war, and on Christmas Eve 1914, some German troops in the trenches in Belgium started singing Christmas carols in German, of course. Soon the English troops in the trenches on the other side started singing the same songs in English. And after a while, the troops agreed that they would have a truce, an informal truce. They put down their weapons, they came out of their trenches, they exchanged Christmas greetings and small gifts, they talked to each other, they even had a worship service together. And it seems that around 100,000 British and German troops were involved in this unofficial cessation of hostilities along the Western Front. The Germans had placed candles on their trenches to celebrate Christmas, and it just kind of grew from there, this Christmas truce. Captain Robert Patrick Miles, who was involved in that remarkable event, wrote this about it. Friday, Christmas Day. We are having the most extraordinary Christmas Day imaginable, a sort of unarranged and quite unauthorized but perfectly understood and scrupulously observed truce exists between us and our friends in front. The funny thing is, it only seems to exist in this part of the battle line. On our right and left, we can all hear them firing away as cheerfully as ever. The thing started last night, a bitter cold night with white frost. Soon after dusk, when the Germans started shouting, "Merry Christmas, Englishmen," to us. Of course, our fellows shouted back, and presently large numbers of both sides had left their trenches unarmed and met in the debatable, shot-riddled, no-man's land between the lines. Here the agreement, all on their own, came to be made that we should not fire at each other until after midnight tonight. The men were all fraternizing in the middle. We naturally did not allow them too close to our line, and swapped cigarettes and lies in the utmost good fellowship. Not a shot was fired all night. But Patrick Miles, who wrote this letter, was killed in the war before New Year's Day, 1915. Now, this was a remarkable incident in a horrible war, an outbreak of peace in the midst of some of the worst violence that the world has ever seen. It was initiated by Christmas, by the enemy's common faith in a child who had come to bring peace, and by their common heritage singing the same songs in different languages, some of the same songs that we sing this morning. The reading from the prophet Isaiah for today, for Christmas Day, says of the Messiah, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." And the angels declare to the shepherds on the first Christmas night, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests." This Christmas morning, I want to briefly explore that theme of peace with you. Because as we look around our world, it's pretty clear that there is not peace on earth across the world. But what does peace really mean? It's often understood as the absence of something, the absence of war or the absence of conflict. For instance, as we find in the account of this Christmas truce. But biblically, peace means not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of something, something even more powerful. I have a short video from a group called the Bible Project, which unpacks this biblical concept of peace for us. And we're going to watch that together now. Thanks, Yvette.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting, it also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom, and his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of Eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our Eirene. He was the whole complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
Wow, there's a lot in there in a 2.5 minute video, and I hope that you are able to take some of that in. But you can see that peace in the Bible means more than the absence of conflict. Jesus has not only come to stop war, but to rebuild lives, to weave together what has become unraveled, to bring wholeness and healing, to bring shalom, completeness, rightness, everything in right relationship. And actually, that begins with our right relationship with God and then our relationship with each other. I'd like you to reflect quietly for a moment in your own life. Where in your life do you feel like things have come unraveled? Where are things out of joint or not as they should be? It might be relationships with family members, or a sense of unworthiness or depression, or a lack of connection with God, perhaps. So Jesus comes at Christmas to bring shalom, to weave together what has become unraveled, to put everything in its right place and its right relationship. This is what the prophet Isaiah is speaking of the increase of his government and of shalom, there shall be no end. And this is what the angels proclaim to the shepherds. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, shalom to those on whom God's favor rests. On Christmas Day, in the person of the baby Jesus, God laid down his arms. He ceased the conflict between humanity and God. God declared a ceasefire, a full and unconditional peace, peace between you and God, forgiveness of all you have done to break the relationship with God and with others, a renewed and restored relationship, and a weaving together of all that has become unraveled. And all of this starts with shalom in the human heart, the placing of a right relationship between you and God, between you and others, and the invitation to work to make things right in the world. Baby Jesus is God's Christmas peace. I pray that you may see and know God's shalom in the gift of Jesus this Christmas and always. Shalom to you. Happy Christmas.